Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. With us today, Frank Knapp. He is Mr. Small Business throughout the state of South Carolina. He is, I guess it's fair to say that you put this thing together, didn't you?
I did co-found it back in the year 2000. 21 years. This, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. And, of course, we're talking about the South Carolina Small Business Chamber of Commerce. Frank's been on this program a number of times in the past, but he's back again for 2021. But he's got a very interesting initiative that all deals with how are we going to help small business get back up on its feet, because small business absolutely got clobbered during the pandemic.
Absolutely. Manny, but first of all, thank you very much for having me back.
Sure.
And I do want to put a shout out here for Substation 2, a great Reuben sandwich with corned beef.
Glad you enjoyed it. So tell everybody a little bit about the small business, the South Carolina Small Business Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, so we're a statewide advocacy organization, interested in the general interest of small businesses. We are unconflicted when it comes to who we represent. We've been at this for, like, now 21 years, and we have, while we're a small operation, we have a pretty good track record of punching above our weight class. And we don't shy away from taking on big issues like the one we're going to talk about today.
All right, so maybe you have some stats at hand, but, I mean, how bad has it been for small business? We'll just say in South Carolina here.
Well,
this last year.
I'm sure that we've had thousands that are small businesses that have gone out of business. We won't know for sure, of course, until census is done. But we know that startups and small businesses, the applications for new business loans in 2020 compared to 2019 were off 31%. So new businesses weren't starting at the rate they were, and we know we lost small businesses. So it's been difficult. But, you know, the problem the small businesses have precede the pandemic. And, you know, we know that we are at a 40-year low in new business startups. That was recognized in 2019 by our Senator Tim Scott in Washington, Senator Amy Klobuchar. They had a bill proposed in 2019 to do some research from the Department of Commerce to find out why we're at a 40-year low in new business startups in this country. And so it's a bipartisan recognition of a serious problem. But we don't need for research to tell us some of the real reasons why we don't have the startups to the degree we need, especially in our rural underserved communities.
Let me take a real wild guess and say that the number one reason is there's a lack of capital out there for somebody who's got a good idea, but they need some help to get it started.
Absolutely. Manny, this is probably, again, the number one issue of why we don't have more new business startups, especially in underserved areas and entrepreneurs of color and women. Do you know that since 1980, we've had a reduction of 68% in banks? In 1980, we had 14,400 banks nationwide. Today, we have 4,600. That's a 68% drop. So we have fewer banks that are people going to try to get loans. And those banks are, no criticism of them, they're interested in making a profit. And so why would you want to make a small business risky loan to a startup when you could spend the same effort on an existing bigger business and making that loan? So we have to start thinking outside the box.
Well, it's kind of like there's a parallel issue, has nothing to do with this, that I see happening across the state of South Carolina, particularly here, and that's affordable housing. How do we get people so they can own a home when the prices are going up faster than their ability to save money, and they're stuck in an apartment where the rents are going up, 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 up? I mean, the only solution there is for the government to come in with some big wads of money and pay for materials and labor. Here, the government, i.e. the SBA, has got to be encouraged to put the money in and stick their neck out to help these guys.
So remember, the SBA traditionally has not made direct loans. They have guaranteed loans to financial institutions. So that means, okay, so if a bank makes a loan and it's guaranteed by the SBA, it doesn't have to be, but if they do seek it, and let's say the SBA says, look, if this goes south, we'll cover 85% of the cost of that loan.
Right.
Well, the bank still lost money. So you can see why, if there's a big demand for larger loans, why they would gravitate to them and not the small business startup. Now, you mentioned housing stock, especially for affordable housing. We have community development financial institutions here in this country, and they put a lot of money. They're putting a lot of money into affordable housing. And so good for them. If that is a problem, it's good for them. But they're not doing as much startup loans to small businesses.
So are you suggesting that during this period where the government is a trillion here, a trillion there, 3 trillion over here, that maybe we ought to allocate some of those trillions towards some type of 100% guarantee loan program?
Well, I don't think the 100% guaranteed loan program is going to get any done. I've always believed since the Great Recession, you cannot make a bank make a loan it doesn't want to make. I don't care if you guarantee it 100%. They don't want to make it. They're not going to do it because they think it's too risky. So what we think is it would be good. See, most small businesses are start up locally with only $10,000 financing.
Right.
And some micro businesses, meaning some man or woman out there has this an operation that they're going to run by themselves, can start for only $3,000 of financing. There is nobody who wants to make that loan unless they got a house, right, that they can get a second mortgage out on or an equity line. Banks don't want to make those loans, and they certainly don't want to make it in a Allendale County or a rural county anywhere. So we think that the SBA, Small Business Administration, up in Washington, if they had a small piece of that over $700 billion we just put into PPP loans, and they did that every year, and they targeted it for startups, our economy would really grow, especially in those rural underserved communities. So we think the SBA ought to be making direct loans, say under $20,000. They could farm out the administration to one of these community development financial institutions and pay them to do it. Training. Everybody has to go through all the classes. Everybody has to understand how to run a real small business. That's another problem we have right today. And everybody has to have mentoring and handholding that helps guarantee that loan will be repaid.
It's just slow. What you're talking about is just like the Habitat for Humanity program. When you get accepted into that, you have to do all the things you just talked about. Plus, you have to have sweat equity before you're going to get the loan, you know, to get the house built, and then you have to repay the loan.
Yep, absolutely. Wow. We can do this. We just have to have the will of the new administration to assign and make the new SBA administrator, Isabel Guzman, almost like the small business czar in this country, that she ought to say, what are we going to do to get us out of this 40-year low? It can't be distributed between Treasury and the Fed and everybody else. If everybody's responsible, then nobody's responsible. That's why we need the SBA to be given a bigger mission, more resources, and more accountability and authority. That's what we believe needs to be done. And if we do that, then we can start working through all the things that need to be done to help small businesses grow and to develop, especially in our underserved communities.
Well, and keep in mind that the backbone of good old USA is small business.
We employ over 60% of all workers work in a small business. Every year, all net new jobs in this entire country are created by businesses that are less than 5 years old, with less than four or less employees. That means if that's where all net new jobs come from in this country, and we're at a 40-year low in these startups, we are in a slow-moving economic disaster. And we just, you know, we can't just rely on a big business. Look, we recruit big business and manufacturing all the time in South Carolina, don't we?
Oh, yeah, very successfully.
We're just shifting it from one part of the country to another, a lot of that, you know, and we're not really creating new jobs. So that's why it's so important to focus the attention of Washington on putting the process into place and the things that need to be done outside the box to get our small businesses starting to be developed by entrepreneurs who want to, but they just don't have some financial resources to pull it off.
All right, so you are the South Carolina Small Business Chamber of Commerce. Is there another entity like you across the country that's ringing this bell?
So we launched this national campaign. We launched it, but it's not unusual for us to do something national. We already have a number of national business organizations and state and local organizations supporting us. So we have the American Independent Business Alliance is on board. They're a national business organization looking at just independent small businesses. We have the American Sustainable Business that represents over 250,000 small businesses and entrepreneurs. We have those are the two national campaigns. We have the here in South Carolina, we have the Latino Communications Community Development Corporation. We have the Sumter Black Chamber of Commerce. We have the South Carolina Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And let's see, of course, we have the South Carolina Small Business Chamber of Commerce. Oh, and nationally, we have the U.S. Green Chamber of Commerce. We have North Carolina. We have the North Carolina Business Alliance that is a part of the backing this. We just started this, Manning, on March 3rd.
March 3rd?
Just a month.
Good for you. So it would seem to be that if you could get the big elephant in the room, which would be the U.S. Chamber of Commerce behind this thing, maybe they can open the door quicker than you can.
Oh, sure they could. But look, the U.S. Chamber represents the big businesses of this country. We are not their constituents. They are gravitating to what their big business dues-paying members want done. And that's to be understood. Again, that's not a criticism. That's simply saying, we can't rely on them.
Sorry. So, okay. Got that. Understand. So how do you get this off of the table here at Straight Talk at Substation 2 and on the desk of the White House? That's always the big question.
Well, we've already been in communication with the White House.
With who?
With the SBA, I'd prefer not to say. and we are trying to get better communication with some offices, influential members of Congress. I've been doing a lot of work here in South Carolina to start. What you're doing is important. And I'll be traveling end of this month down to Florida and doing a media tour of Florida, getting the word out and picking up support as we go. But we are going to have to start paying more attention to the Biden administration and getting on their radar. Look, the Biden administration has done a lot for local economic development and putting that $1.9 trillion out there. A lot of that money is just going right in local economies, and it's really going to help it. They had just released their American Jobs Plan. Unfortunately, none of that is what we're talking about. They want to create more training centers and this type of thing. I don't know how many more training centers we need when you can train them, and if they have no money, they can't do anything.
Well, trillions of dollars is a lot of money.
It was.
It's a lot of money, and I'm sure they don't have every dollar allocated. I'm sure if they could hear a good idea, they might say, well, maybe you ought to do that.
Well, we're only a month old in this whole thing. The interest is picking up. I tell you, most of the, especially local and state business organizations, they hear this, they go, well, yeah, that is what we have is a problem. And yes, they're all having trouble getting loans. And yes, they don't think the SBA needs a bigger mission so they can start addressing these things. So we're not running into much opposition when we talk to state and local organizations.
Now, there's a pretty we have two pretty well-known United States senators in Washington that have curried a lot of favor with both sides of the aisle. Tim Scott, with his Opportunity Zone legislation, I would think this would be a perfect partnership for that.
It is. Again, we're trying to get on with, I've talked to his staff.
Right.
Specifically, I've talked to them about his bill. The bill he introduced in 2019, he's already reintroduced it, along with Amy Klobuchar and some other senators they picked up. And it's called Enhancing Entrepreneurship for the 21st Century. And again, but this bill only calls for doing research by the Department of Commerce to identify all the factors that are leading to a 40-year slump in new business startups, and hopefully then some ideas of how to get around around it. But we don't need to wait for a year for research to know one of the big things is access to capital.
You know, you would think that with all the SBA centers there are across the country, that all they have to do is just pick up the phone and call a few of them and say, what's the biggest thing you need? I guarantee it's going to be money.
Well, of course. And the SBA, again, they're traditionally there to provide some assistance to encourage small businesses to back loans made by banks. But again, I think that our history has shown us that a 85-90% guarantee of a loan to a private lender can't make that lender make that loan.
Well, with all this being said, if there was more money put into the hands of the SBA so they could help out.
And that's what we want to do.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. There is still value in making sure that whoever this entrepreneur is has some kind of skin in this game. I mean, nobody will get anywhere if it's all handed to them. They've got to have some, whatever it is, Habitat for Humanity, call it sweat equity. In this case, I think whoever the entrepreneur is has to have some kind of money in this thing.
I don't think there's any question about it that most loans, though, are for physical things, not for paying the salary of the owner. I know when I started my business, I didn't get a loan, but it was all sweat equity.
Sure.
I was taking the risk. I was doing without until we got things, going and turned out very well for me. But I think most entrepreneurs who really understand what it's going to take to build a business, they understand they're going to have to sacrifice.
Oh, yeah. And if you're not going to do that, you shouldn't be out there.
Go work for somebody else.
No. That's exactly right. Yeah. No guts, no glory. Right? All right. We're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Of course, we hang out here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. The magical way we do it is pretty well known to a lot of people, but Frank, we're going to let you tell them as well. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. You got it. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning and also give us time to prepare for the week to come, but we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause. But remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 4106.
My concern is let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke. Those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Frank Knapp is with us. He is the president of the South Carolina Small Business Chamber of Commerce. We have just spent the bulk of our program talking about a very interesting initiative, which is all about, hey, while you're handing out a bunch of money down there in Washington, why don't you put a bunch of it in the hands of the SBA so they can directly start funding small businesses, which is the lifeblood of the good old US of A. And right now, there's been an accumulated 40% decline in the number of startups. That's not good.
No. It's a 40-year low. I don't know what the percentage is. But let me ask the people out there listening, if they're interested in this subject,
yeah,
go to our website, www.reformthesba.com. Reformthesba.com. Everything is there. You can look and figure out what we're talking about, why we're making the recommendations we do. There's a number of recommendations that cover other things other than access to capital. We talk about common small business needs that the feds could address, regulations, procurement. So we have a lot up there to digest. I encourage people to go to reformthesba.com.
Well, later this week, we're going to have United States Congressman Ralph Norman on the program.
Good. Tell him I said hello.
You ought to make him aware of this.
Well, we are trying.
He needs to know.
We are trying.
He needs to know. All right, so another issue that goes back a couple of years now that I know you've been involved with is, what are we going to do with Santee Cooper? And I guess we're about as far along as we were when the issue first arrived. Because
we have moved forward and took a step back.
Yeah.
So to remind everybody, remember, it was Santee Cooper, our state utility,
right,
combined with SCE&G, a private utility. They had a grand plan of building two new nuclear reactors in Fairfield County, and they pulled the plug on that in July 30th of 2017, and there were $10 billion in debt, and Santee Cooper has $4 billion of that construction debt. So the question then becomes, what do we do with the future of Santee Cooper? And we, yes, the South Carolina Small Business Chamber of Commerce, has been advocating since that time that we need to find a private investor-owned utility who's willing to buy Santee Cooper, as long as they agree to take away all that debt, lift it off of the ratepayers back, and also reduce rates right away, and hopefully close those very expensive coal plants that Santee Cooper has.
And so people understand the SCE&G part of this, because they were also upside down with a bunch of billions, $5 billion.
Over $5 billion.
Dominion Energy came in and took them over, so got those rate holders out of this mess.
Well, what happened with Dominion Energy is they were made to, the term is called defease $2.3 billion of that $5 billion debt that SCG had rung up for that nuclear project. And what that means is, literally, they took $2.3 billion and took it off of the rolls for South Carolina ratepayers. Now, did it go? So where'd it go? I don't know. But all I know is our state agencies, our regulatory agencies, know that they're not going to try to sneak that into a rate base. And Office of Regulatory Staff, that's their job to watch that. So, look, that's a giant company. They are playing the long game.
They're willing
to make an investment because they're going to get regulated utility, 9-10% profit guaranteed every year.
In a rapidly growing state like South Carolina.
It's a sweetheart of a deal.
So, meanwhile, back at the ranch, the Santee Cooper portion of this, the legislature has, the last time I was familiar with this, the legislature put together a committee which was going to try to decipher about whether it would be smart enough to just sell this thing, or should we just, you know, throw everybody out and just bring a whole new group of people in to manage it. I don't know. I've lost track of it after that.
So, we've had two step forward, one step back for the last 3 years almost on this thing. Yes, there was a legislative committee. It was in the House. They formed a committee. They got ideas. They took not real proposals, but they had some ideas. The Senate didn't like it at all. They threw it out. Then there was the process of official bids to buy, to manage, and then let Santee Cooper say how they're going to reform. Those came in. The Department of Administration reviewed them, made recommendations as to, if you're going to sell it to NextEra. If you're going to manage it, let Dominion Energy do it. If you're going to reform it, okay, but here's our way we think things ought to go. Well, the General Assembly threw that out, too. So now we're at the point, last week, the Senate had this House bill that kind of looked at both areas again. Here, you know, had a plan. Here's how you can look at reforming. Here's how we ought to look at what we need to look at if we're going to sell it. The Senate, of course, in the Senate Judiciary, Senator Luke Rankin from Horry County, decided he didn't want to look at that bill. So he created his own that just looked at reforming Sandy Cooper, which almost can't be done properly. But he passed it out last week out of his committee after weeks of work. But, you know, the bottom line is we can't make the correct decision in South Carolina about the future of Santee Cooper until we really explore all the options. And so far, all the Senate did is looking at, quote unquote, reform, but they've completely ignored what happens if we sell it. What kind of benefits can we get for South Carolina?
So you're going to come out with an opinion on this. Imagine that tomorrow. It's called Will South Carolina's Senate Do Its Fiduciary Obligation? And what is the consensus of that?
Well, the fiduciary obligation is that those words, by the way, came from a state senator at the last week's hearing. By the way, that bill only passed with one vote.
Whoa.
One vote, yays versus nays. And what they need to do is they need to now, since they've did this reform thing and they've got it, they've claimed this is the best reform that they can put together. Well, now they need to look at, if we sell it, what's the best deal we can put together? If you don't do the second, you've really not done your fiscal obligation.
I don't know. Of course, I don't know anything about the numbers. I know nothing about the numbers. But if Santee Cooper has, what, $6 billion of the debt or $5
billion? It's $4 billion. It started at $4 billion.
Right, so they got $4 billion in debt. You can bring a whole new cast of characters in there to run Santee Cooper, and they can run it efficiently. All right? But you're still going to be $4 billion in the hole unless you raise the rates dramatically on the ratepayers. And they've already gotten stung on this thing. They're not going to go for that.
So what Santee Cooper people tell you is, well, we're trying to reduce that debt over time and keep the rates the same where they are. But they never answer the question of who is paying that $4 billion debt. It's the ratepayer.
No kidding.
And our idea is, just like we did with SCG, let a private utility, an investor-owned utility, who's willing to defease that $4 billion of construction debt, I mean taking it away from the ratepayers of South Carolina and all the co-ops in South Carolina, if they're willing to do that and throw in some more stuff, we ought to sell it.
I mean, it seems to make sense. I wish I understood the numbers and had somebody here who was a utility person. And I know a few of them, and I hope they're listening, because I would ask 100 questions about, is it can you possibly do it and maintain ownership of this thing? Or do you just need to get out of it, take the cash from the buyer, and take care of this problem?
There's a lot of interest in the state of South Carolina getting out of the electric generation business.
Including from the governor.
Including the governor.
Yeah.
It made sense back in the 1930s when nobody else wanted to deliver energy to our rural areas.
Right.
Not today. Everybody wants to deliver energy everywhere.
So are you optimistic or pessimistic that there's going to be some resolution to this?
I am.
This session.
It's got to be, something's got to be done this session. I am optimistic that in the end, in the Senate, they will decide they need to have another vehicle for a next era or somebody else to come in and say, here's what we can do for the state of South Carolina to acquire Santee Cooper. They need to do that. I'm optimistic. Now, the Santee Cooper supporters, what they want to do is they want to run the clock out.
Right. We'll see what happens. The legislative session is clicking along, and it won't be too much longer before they adjourn. Frank, thank you for stopping in and for what you're doing on all these issues, and I'm sure we'll hear from you again.
I hope so.
Frank Knapp, our guest this afternoon with the South Carolina Small Business Chamber of Commerce. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We brought in our main cheerleader, Dr. Scott Oliver, who's already here. He's warmed up and ready to go to tell everybody how we do this at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.